Charlie's waiting for a huge punch in the face.
I spoil for it sometimes. Not in real life.
But, that's how you know he's sorry.
I mean, that's really what we're talking about, right? If you have a kesher to gashmius, and that's what's driving you, it's very difficult to detach that. Like, especially now, Elul, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. Like, if the whole avoda now is like just getting ready so you can ask for a bigger shopping list of stuff, the whole thing is like a bracha. I don't say bracha l'batala. Like, it's a very holy thing to believe that Hashem gives you things.
Yeah.
And at any level that we're in, whenever we realize that Hashem gives us things, even though we're asking physical things, it's still a holy thing. But if we want to really have we really want to celebrate El properly, we have to make sure the avoda that we're doing isn't sugar-coated.
Tell me if this makes sense. I remember as a teenager coming back from Eretz Yisrael, sitting with a family member, and I was already like beginning, you know, to become more serious and avoid a session, much more than I am now, fortunately. And I remember like they were trying to convince me to like go to like an amusement park, Six Flags. And I said, you know what, I'm not interested in going to an amusement park. And this relative really had like no yeshiva background, and the little which they have had, you know, they worked hard for, but no way in able to understand higher in Yonim and Avodas Hashem. Not that that's like not, it's like a high thing not to go to a amusement park. But this person said to me, like, why won't you go? Don't you think that if Hashem created it, because He wants you to enjoy it?
I love that one.
So my question is like, how much does this question silently speaking to us in the back of our minds?
I wish I was on that level to be asking that question.
This question bothered me such a long time.
You are. Because it feels good. We like it. We enjoy it.
Yeah, but even when you're... What I think you're getting at is, even when you have to justify it, the way you justify everything you want in life is you go, why... Didn't Hashem build the Alps? Like that one vart that we heard from Rousseau Salanta?
Right.
Like, meanwhile, he said, if you go through Rousseau Salanta, you'll be like a real Jew. But like one time he said, when I get to Shemayim, I mean, it's not, Abraham's going to say, and that becomes like the permission to like go to like Puerto Vallarta for two weeks because like, you know, but we all have that. That's what I'm getting at.
We cling to Divrei Chazal instead of thinking which we're like...
It worked for us. Like, we pick and choose Chazals that just fit into our already current perspective.
Right. But the Gemara first, which says, Mimis Asma L'Torah, you know? Like, what's the real pshat in Mimis Asma L'Torah?
Right.
No, how do we find like the Mefarish on that? Like, you don't have to work so hard on learning Torah. Like, you know,
It comes from... I just recently got a little bit of Musa from somebody who was explaining to me that if you look at the world from an eye where physical, material things are valuable, you will put yourself in pain to get your materialism. If you're an athlete, you will go through pain. If you look at any professional athlete, they're in pain for more than they're not in pain. They believe that their ideals of a athletic success is, if you look at someone who's working in Wall Street, when they're young, whatever it is that you want to go into pain for is a proof that you believe in the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you really believe that the most important thing in your life is ruchnius, you're just not going to engage in the pain that you need. I don't have an answer for it. I'm just identifying, and I'm not suggesting that I'm solving this problem. I'm just trying to articulate the problem. If we really want to have an Elul that's going to be transformative, we have to first discuss that if the Elul is to get us to some physical material success, if Sefer HaChaim means something on the physical list, if we're just trying to engage, like right now, I'm putting my head in the headspace of Slichas. We do it right. Like we go up when Moshe goes up. You know what I'm saying? Like Moshe Rabbeinu goes up on Beis, we're going up. So Slichas starts next week. So to get yourself into a headspace that like, this isn't like taking from your day, this is giving to your day. That whole perspective, if we don't have it, then all of Yiddishkeit tastes differently. And the whole goal of the material world, I just saw this piece from Moshe Wolfson. Moshe Wolfson?
Mm-hmm.
So they publish his stuff.
Yeah.
He has a piece on Mach. I have to share it with him. Maybe I'll post it on Machzis HaShekel. And he basically goes through how this entire Western world is built for us to consume. And the whole drive that they've been training us since we were younger is to never be satisfied because it's based on consumption. Consumption needs more need, and more need feeds the pocket, so you can never be satisfied with the physical world. And that's the whole... He did it in a way. Amalek and Chatz HaShekel and Mach HaShekel is being satisfied with less. He broke the entire world economy. I can't even believe it. It was like an... I thought I was reading like Ray Dalio and like as an economist. Lahavdil Elahavdil Dov. Right? And he was right, meaning our perspective, if we don't go to the root and start to chip away at how we see the world, we're not going to taste... This is the continuation from last week. Last week you said, get into a zone, start to taste Yiddishkeit, understand it a tish, daven slowly, like start the process of slowly tasting what Yiddishkeit has to offer, and then you'll see it's juicier than you think, and it'll... But we have to, like, really, like, I think, like, hit this straight. If our perspective is Western, which is, unless you're living in Iraq, I'm a very Western kid. I grew up West, like, I'm a Western guy. I grew up...
Don't you think, it wasn't applied to an amusement park, don't you think that so much of our tefillah that we have forgotten is to enhance our ruchnius? Or that's the trap?
It's the trap!
Right, but that's the thing. What Charlie's saying and what Rebbe speaks of all the time is what's tough, what's tougher,
like I said, is different, but health and parnassa,
I think the trap we're falling into is that we're davening for the gashmias, for ruchnias, but we kind of forget about the ruchnias.
Yes, that's exactly the part. We're faking out God. We're like, no, I need it for you. He's like, stop it. Just say you need it for you. At least we'll get an MS. Like, stop pretending that when you say brachenu, you really mean because you're dying to give more stuff. Just say you want more money because you want to compete in this world that values wealth. I understand you'll give money, but like, it's like we have to get honest and say, like we spoke about this last week, are you davening for your friend because you feel your friend's pain or because you just want the stuff earlier? Like, you're a Jew, so you go out the back door. Like, we're good with the back door. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's like, but it all stems from a perspective, and the perspective is my body, my materialism is the core of my life. Comfort is the core of what I strive for. Let everyone be healthy. Well, it should be true. Healthy and well. Everyone should just be good. Like, good, and we have no more, like, you know, like I spoke to someone recently, Tisha, I spoke about wanting Mashiach, and like, someone gave me advice, like, stop it. Nobody really, like, just don't even bring it up. Like, I'm like, how come? They're like, because it's so far beyond. People could care when, how. Like, it's so complicated, Mashiach. I gotta leave. When am I going? It's so hot in Israel. Do I gotta bring a carbon? Like, how's this gonna work with the cow? What's it gonna be? The Grogu Magog? Like, it's just too complicated. Like, I'm good. Just make Gullus easy. Don't worry about Mashiach. Just give me a better Gullus. And anti-Semitism. Like, just knock out Joe Biden. Oh, we're not gonna get in there, but like, just. But. Unless we start hitting this perspective, we're just going to continue to go down this. To circle back to your point, the amusement park and the merry-go-round. Hello, we're great. And November, we're back to normal. And then August, we're off. And hello, we're on. It's a cycle that we have to, and you can't beat it by just always getting a little bit better. Like, sometimes you got to just. Yeah. Go after it.
This goes back to what we spoke about last year. We spoke about what to be makabel for Rosh Hashanah, davening from the bencher. Remember that?
Yes.
Davening from the bencher. You know what? We are Baruch Hashem B'nai Torah. And a lot of, let's say, Shari Tshuva, which is like a very go-to sefer when it comes to the Zman of Tshuva, is really written for people who like were Bali Tshuva. Like, most of the sefer is about, you know, teaching us about the mitzvahs. Like, you put up a makkah, wear tefillin every day, tzitzis, you know, don't be such a rasha. It's time for you to start to do mitzvahs and stop doing avarice. Like, Baruch Hashem, we're at a point where, when it comes to halacha, we tell the Mishnah, like, tell me what to do and I'll do it. Tell me what to do and I'll do it. If you want me to wait 12 hours between eating milk, if that would be like the din today, I would totally do it. Because it's a din, right? If I'm going to put up a mezuzah on every one of these doors in the house, and even that one, because it's a suffix whether it needs a mezuzah, I'm ready to do it. We struggle when it comes to Shana time because we ask ourselves, like, what mitzvahs do I need to do now? And we go through the checklist and we're like, I do these mitzvahs and I try to switch from these latest essays. And then we get into the guilt trip, which we're like, okay, maybe I'm just not doing them all enough. And then we get hard on ourselves many times, and we go through this circle in our minds of like, okay, so what is tshuva all about? What is tshuva all about? And we're sitting there in the Hashamnas Baganas trying to clap about things which we feel like we really tried in these areas, and of course we're going to have shortcomings, and then we get all hard on ourselves, like when I say, you know, al chei shechatanu b'harim u'mayrim, you know, maybe I wasn't so respectful to my parents, and maybe I did something 20 years ago to a rabbi, maybe something which I didn't say. And then we're hard on ourselves that we really don't know what the al-chets are about, because we read the svarim and how, like, you know, how you have to be like that. But really, we're not those bali tshuva who they're talking about in those days. You know, in those days, it was very polar. It was like, either like you were totally off the derech, or like you're very erlich. Now we're like, you know, there's a whole mix of Yiddishkeit. There's so much gray. And for the most part, we're very good Yidden. We're very good, and we're B'nai Torah, we're sincere, and we try to do all Torah mitzvahs. And then we ask ourselves this question when Ella rolls around, we're like, well, how am I going to do tshuva this year? What happens is that we'll grab something which is like such a tough L, and we'll make it into an ikker, thinking because, like, listen, I'm keeping all Torah mitzvahs. Like, every sif in Shulchan Aruch, I could check it off. So then what do I do? Maybe my, you know, really what the Sfarim say though at that point is that the tshuva therefore becomes, like the Gemara says in Brachos, to learn my Torah. Yeah. For a person who thinks that he's, looks at the Torah mitzvahs, which he does, and he feels like he's good, so then he feels like, you know, if I can only knew more, I would be Mekayim more. So the answer many times to that question is, okay, so now learn more, so you could do more. To learn more Torah. Yeah. To spend more time davening. So take the ikkers and to make them better. But to resort to, like, davening from a venture, although it's a very chashuv thing, and to make my Roshana out of that, and my Yom Kippur out of that, and to walk away with, like, you know, you could pull out the venture out of your pocket and show it, and be like, I'm taking this very seriously. You know. There's two levels. There's two levels of tshuva. There's the level of tshuva, which is the basic level of tshuva, which is that if you're doing Aveiros, stop doing Aveiros. If you're not doing all the mitzvahs, start doing them, and do that, come to Hashem, because unless we could check off all the Se'ifim Shulchan Aruch, so then something, that's the priority. Once we do that, though, then the question now becomes, like, okay, so now what? What's tshuva for the big boys? How do the big boys do tshuva? And so the answer to that is Kadosh Atzmecha B'Mutavach. Are you interested in being a good Jew who can go through life putting checks by all the boxes? If so, you'll be in the second category, paragraph of Kriya Shema, which is like, V'hayim Shema Tishma Mitzvah, keep all the mitzvahs, I'll make life good for you. That's the second paragraph of Kriya Shema, which is like, you know, I'll do all these things because the Kadosh Baruch Hu is saying, V'asafta deganecha, you'll have a lot of reward, you have good parnas in this world, and then it also speaks to me to hear, like, okay, you'll be punished if you don't. If that's our motivation, then we could be very beautiful yidden who go through, you know, like that. We have an understanding, me and the Rebbeinu Shlomo, that I do the mitzvahs, you take care of me, and, you know, there's going to be some trip-ups in this world, I get it, can't expect everything to go well all the time, but we have an understanding. That's like the second paragraph in Kriya Shema. But then this first paragraph of Kriya Shema, which begins like with a blast, which is like via havdas Hashem alakecha, v'chol levavcha, v'chol nafshecha, v'chol miyaydecha, v'hayu hadvayim ha'ila, which is like learning a lot of Torah, v'shinantam levanecha, v'divartavam, always talking about it, which is like to be consumed in a life of ruchnias. It doesn't say anything in the first paragraph of Kriya Shema about anything gashmi. You don't even have a sprach with such a person about Gashmias. He doesn't want to hear about it. His world, his life, is avodas Hashem, and learning Torah, and davening, and doing mitzvahs, and avas Hashem. You can, don't start off the paragraph, v'hayim shemot yishmo say, then I'll give you good things. Don't talk to him like that. V'ahavtas Hashem alika. That's what I want to hear. How can I grow in my avodas Hashem, my ava, and my yira? So, the way to do that is b'chol levavcha. which is like afilu with the Yetzihara, meaning it means getting uncomfortable. You're getting uncomfortable. But to reap the rewards and the benefits of what a life that is.
You get uncomfortable, you have to. I don't know if this is exploitedness, if this is boininess, if this is, I don't know what this is, but you have to go through some process where you know in your kishkas that your ruchnius is worth the sacrifice of your gashmius. Not together, not the usual, like, I get the elevation thing. You know what I'm saying? I understand ruchnius builds gashmius, we don't meant to be in a monastery, like all that stuff. It doesn't sound like that's what we're getting. It's, you have to get to a place where you go, I'm willing to go on a monastery, like the Lahavdil. I'm willing to go on a hill. Like, it's, if you don't, I think, I'm asking, like, if you don't reach that level, you say, I am willing to give up everything for ruchnius, then you just can't muster the energy you need to go against a world that has gashmi. We don't live in Meir Shearim. We don't live in Bnei Brak. We don't live around a world where we are watching everyday people living their lives. We don't walk to apartments and see tzaddikim living on bread and water from Shabbos to Shabbos. We don't have that in our space. So we can't fight with tools that they fight with at a time where they're living in... And we have to fight with a tool that is the American... Cool. It has to be a it's like, you know, Israel's fighting with F-16s now because they're just fighting a different war than they fought when Yeshua walked into Ai and to Yericho. It's a different war. I'm not saying that it's still Hashem, but just we have to understand, like, what is the mental, intellectual clarity that you need so that you're willing to say, Kaddish Atzmach, I'm not going to have that sushi. Not because it's not kosher, because it's too much. I'm not going to wake up.
You have that clarity.
No, we don't.
Yes, you
we
do.
Don't. We
you
have
talk about it all the time. You have the clarity.
No.
You just don't have the...
Okay, whatever. We don't have the clarity enough to say, I'm getting up at this time,
no
matter what.
That's a... You said it's a very, very fine distinction. I think the difference between I'm not going to have it as opposed to I don't want it.
Okay, so explain.
I'm not going to have it still means you actually want it. And I, from what I'm thinking, is that the Vihafta Eis is the Iker, and the Vahayim Shmuel is like the top, all that comes afterwards. And if the Vihafta is there, and it's called Vavcha, then the wanting is not going to be like a strong desire, because you're going to be attached to something, Ruchni. It's just going to be something that's there, and I just don't want it. Not that I'm not going to have it. That, like,
if you take the half to es Hashem lo kechab chol avavcha,
okay,
b'shnei yitzircha b'yitzar tov yitzar b'chol nafshecha, afilu im notel es nafshecha, the Mishnah says. That means when you get to the fifth word of that line, you have to say, "I'm ready to die. I'm ready to die. Like, I'm not ready to be uncomfortable. I'm ready to die."
But before that, you can give up a half hour of sleep to learn.
I'm going the extreme, and I'll tell you why.
I want to go that way also. I'll explain after.
Because if you don't break it, you're always in it. You have to have a moment. Yeah. This isn't a conversation we're having for Teves. This is an Elul conversation. There has to be a moment where you say, I am willing for a brief period of time to break it, to jump into a fire, to die. I don't know how to do it. I'm asking it. I don't even know if it's right. I'm not suggesting that I have the plan. I'm saying... It seems to me that when you want to make change, there's incremental growth. That is usually how change happens. But that incremental growth comes after a clarity that is shocking.
Mm-hmm.
And unless we're willing...
devastating accident.
Exactly. The doctor says you keep on smoking, you're not making it to your kid's wedding. And you go, what? I thought I would live to 120 because this rod lived to 120 with smoking. And then you come out of the doctor's office with X's in your hands and you go, oh! And that moment in the car is shocking and disturbing. And then you go to, I'll cut down to 10, I'll cut down to 6, right. I'll cut down to 5. But if you're always protecting yourself from the moment of, like, and I think we do that. I think we do that naturally. I think we just live in a world like that. And I can tell you, you can't say it out loud, because if you say it too much, people are like, "What are you, crazy?" And that world also is like down the fine line of like, Hashem's going to kill you, Hashem's going to kill you. Like, you have to walk the line. When you walk down this line, you can like slip over the edge, and then you get into the world of like, if you don't bench by a bencher, you're going to get zapped. Which is not the place you want to be in, because once you get into that world, now you get into like, it's you're like, you see what I'm saying? Like, there's a little road where somehow the SEALs figure out how to do it. Somehow people that teach people how to give up their lives for something greater than themselves figure out how to do it. And I feel like we have to get that and own it for a brief period of time, so that then you go back to the incremental growth and you go, huh, this is exactly, because I can see the future. And that's without having a tzaddik. We can't do the other stuff. We can't have a tzaddik living. We have a tzaddik here. Like, if you live tzaddikim, I'm sure people live like this. I'm sure people lived at times where, like, they walked around and, like, every other person was, like, a real tzaddik. And they're just like, this was normal for them. But we have to adapt to this world where it's dark and... You with me? Yeah. Am I making sense?
Absolutely. I think, can I just say one thing?
Yeah, of course.
I've obviously been there before, as I'm sure most of us have. Like, that feeling of, like, where am I and where am I going? And what I've found and what I've learned in the past is that it's a gift. I can't change my roots on myself. It's like pulling yourself up from your bootstraps. Like, how do I change what I want? You have to want to change, but you can't actually do that. For me, I got to that place where I don't want to be where I'm being right now. Hashem, give it to me. I want to want it, but I don't have that ability to do it. Please give it to me. And I've found that, like, my world changed after that. Like, to want it and to ask Hashem for that gift is the thing that usually changes my life.
Very good. That's probably, like, the tachlis and the core of everything. To have that hakara is actually the most important part, but it also needs, along those lines, it also needs, like, it doesn't really need anything if it's done right. That's the truth. I don't want to minimize it at all. But next, that's the ikar. That's called Raivin Deraivin. That's like Shal Shudis. That's like a whole world in of itself. Is the want to want, and that's probably the most important akuda in everything. Is that rutzon for the rutzon?
Baruch Hu, to give you the want to.
It's Ein Sof.
Mind of not of knowing that you don't want
can't
it.
Get it.
That was a gift too, because I didn't know that. Someone told me that I need to that I can't do it on my own. I'm like, you're right. So yeah, no.
Yeah. That's something which accompanies everything. In fact, like, there's an ikra and there's a tafel, and we're going to discuss something right now, which is tafel to that. Really, that's considered to be like the ikra. But it's hard to talk about, but it's something which a person has to be maven on his own, you know, that in it. That's the ikra, which is like to have a rutzen, and to know, Ein lanu milismach, atu isladas, Ein lanu milvado, my success is in your hands. And if a person lives by that, then that's the ikker. Let's discuss the tafel to that, and this is Menachem's point, and to also what Shaul was saying in response to that. It's important that along the lines of what Shaul was just saying is the following thing. What's necessary in the beginning is to make a commitment to the goal. If a person gets shocked because of news which he hears about, like the example of making it to his child's wedding, and he looks at the blueprint at the MRI, whatever it is, and he's like, gosh, I'm not going to make it there. So what that happens is that he uses that moment as an opportunity to make a sincere Kabbalah for a certain goal. And unless there's that first, then whatever plan we make to succeed is not going to succeed. And that's really where we slip up all the time, is that we're always making plans. And every year we're making new drachim, but what's lacking is the Kabbalah. The Kabbalah ala asid is lacking. That's really one of the components of tshuva. The components of tshuva is like figure out the derech of tshuva. Derech tshuva haresa, but usually what the problem is, that it wasn't that the derech was wrong, it was never a Kabbalah ala asid. And we don't make Kabbalah ala asid, again, it goes back to what we said before, because usually Kabbalah ala asid in our world is like, what ases, los ases, darbanans am I not doing that I need to make a Kabbalah on? But now we're talking about reaching the tachlis of what Torah Mitzvah is all about. Not just to like live in the bubble of making sure that everything is checked all around me, and going through my world of Yasafta, the Ganacha Vesirash Chavitzarecha, to mix a Kabbalah for the tachlis of what this Bria is all about. What does Hashem want from me in this world? The thinking thoughts of, what is the purpose of my existence? What was I created for? What is the goal and the intent of these Torah mitzvahs? That's the world of Yahavta. So that's really what's lacking, is that Kabbalah. Now, how do we get to that Kabbalah? So unless we have moments in our lives which is just like a big shock in our system, so then it's very hard for us to make a Kabbalah. Going to a tzaddik and seeing that the way the tzaddik is Meisr Nefesh and Shabbos and is Avoida gives a person an image as to like what he's striving for, which will allow a person to make a Kabbalah. To see how a person, the life of a tzaddik, to be able to see with your ruchnius eyes a dugma of like what it is the purpose of this world is invaluable. But on top of that, so listen to the way that the Kedushas Levi and other tzaddikim, that they found ways to identify solid mahalach into how to make a Kabbalah. And that is as follows. It's a halach in Shulchan Aruch that a person has to give up his life for Gula Rash Vichastamim and Avodah Zarah. That means, that translates, that if that moment came right now, then I would be willing and happily, like any other mitzvah in Torah, to give up my life to B'kayel Hashem Shemai. That means, this is the Noam Elimelech, not just Kedusha, all this from across the board. That means that at every moment, I'm in a state of preparedness for Mesiras Nefesh for the Ribbono Shel Olam. Now, we don't live actively in that moment, because we don't see it presented all the time. But there's a theoretical reality that a person can live in, that he walks around with a Shema Yisrael consciousness. Shema Yisrael consciousness means that if a person puts a gun to my head, Chalid V'chas, and he's like, either do this Avodah Zarah, or I'm going to take your life, you say Shema Yisrael. So the Shema Yisrael consciousness manifests itself most by the moment of Misa, by the moment of either this or that, but that translates into a more expanded way of living life in Shema Yisrael consciousness. The way that the tzaddik can bring it out is b'derech kal v'chomer. If I'm willing to give up my life for the Ribbono Shel Olam to be Meisr Nefesh right now, and even not to eat chazer in the presence of 10 other yidden, and I have to give up my life for that, and I would willingly do that, and we saw how many millions and millions over the diaries of simple Jews who did it, and I'm certainly one of those who would be willing to ayin balatanya perak yotes v'chule v'chule. So, with that knowledge of how much I'm in the army of Hashem, and I'm willing to give up my life for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, if I'm willing to give up my life for those things, that should give me the strength to be able to say to everything else in life, which I see as being a maniyah to the greater goal, to be able to say to those things, I'm willing to be mevater in that too. So there's a way of living life in a state of kal v'chomer. Not so much that Hashem Yisbaruch wants that the Jew should give up his life al kiddush Hashem. Hashem doesn't want that we should give up our life al kiddush. If we're presented in a situation where we have to, so then that's considered to be b'di'evit. Api chassidus is the b'di'evit. That a Jew should give up his life. That's why the Sfarim HaKadoshim explained that Avram's being thrown into the kiddush ha'esh is not amongst the asara nisyonos. Because it's, according to some Rishonim it is, but most it's not. Why? Because the Asara Nisyonos of Avraham Avinu are how to live your life al-Kiddush Hashem, not how to give up your life al-Kiddush Hashem. The Torah is supposed to teach a Jew v'chai b'hem v'lo shayamas b'hem. A way how to live your life al-Pi Mesiras Nefesh, but not to die al-Pi Mesiras Nefesh. Which is why Pikuach Nefesh is Deicha Shabbos, because why give up one Shabbos? We can have Shabbos as Harbe. Hashem wants to see that a Jew lives a life of Kiddush Hashem. But the point is that it doesn't just become a halacha and shachanach buried somewhere where halavaya shouldn't happen to me. It becomes the fact that there's a halacha like that becomes the anchor and the root of from where my avodas Hashem comes from. So it could be on the one hand the most hopefully it will never happen sif in shachanach, but at the other hand, if a person is living as a growing person, it actually is in an interesting way the most nogea halacha in his life in shachanach.
Can I just identify that? Let me just, in my head, take the progress. By living in Shema Yisrael consciousness, you are reminding yourself of what you're living for. Right? Since you'd be willing to kill, die for it, that means you're living for it. Mm-hmm. But how come I don't know that? Because I'm not thinking about it. So why should a person think about it for 2 seconds? God forbid they're in a situation. So how, God forbid a person's in that situation, they'll think about it 3 minutes before they have to do it, let's say. Why do that for? If you bring it back to the beginning of your life and you live with the consciousness of what you're willing to die for, that means you're now training your brain to be living the consciousness of what you're willing to live for, which now allows you to look into the world with the perspective of, wait a second, why should I have to, if I'm going to live for this, these decisions now take a different context.
Yeah. That's like a nice, it's a nice touch. That's a nice psychological touch.
Is that wrong, though? Is it
no, off? It's not wrong, no.
Simply put, if I'm willing to die for something, so for sure, Kal v'chomer, I'm willing to not have an extra piece of meat.
But just, what I want to do is I want to slow it down so that it resonates why.
Right, right. Why? You're putting it into Levush, yeah, into a keli.
Right.
It's a very good keli. I mean, he's taking the Kal v'chomer and explaining the Kal v'chomer and how it translates back.
So I can live with it.
I see the flow of the Kal v'chomer.
For the last few months, trying to teach people how to train their brain.
But here,
I wouldn't even put that the two together.
But here, the nakuda though is that the Kal v'chomer teaches me. I mean, the halacha and Shulchan Aruch teaches me that my life is not mine to live. That's what it means. I have an agenda how I want to live my life. Comes along avodah zarah. It's like, wait, it's not on the agenda. Hashem says, no, it's not about your agenda. It's about my agenda. It meaning that halacha and Shulchan Aruch is teaching a Jew, you're here to live for me. Happens to be Baruch Hashem that. That the halachas and the whole system of the Torah is because Hashem is saying, I'm here to live for you. Meaning that really, if we have the humility to look at Torah properly, we would see that everything in the Torah is about HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying, like it says in these parashas, Lahitivcha b'achrisacha, everything is for you. The Tevlach kol hayom. That's what it's all about. It's just that when my vision of what the Tevlach means goes against what the Torah's Tevlach means, so this halacha comes to dictate who's the Tevlach wins. That your life is... I'm in charge of your life. Why? Because I'm the root of your life. Let me tell you what will best suit you, because I want you to know that whatever life you have in this world, I'm at the root of it. So whatever, if you know that, just know that whatever you think is going to be a good life, based on your understanding of who you are, what works for you, what your tastes are, what you like, know that there's something deeper inside yourself, which is me, which is really who you are, and let me tell you, based on the real you, what's really good for you. That's what this halacha teaches a person.
It doesn't give thought, though, as to how to live in Kadesh Atzmecha v'Masha Mutalecha, because I don't know that. I know now, right? If I let's assume that now we've proven that the purpose of life is Kiddush Hashem, right? Why? Because if you can die in Kiddush Hashem, then clearly that's going to be the purpose of life, right? That's the epitome. So, but it doesn't clue me into what Kiddush Hashem is. For all I know, Kiddush Hashem is engaging in everything in this world, making a bracha, putting a yarmulke on the pig, so to speak, and saying, this is all, what are you talking about? Like, why is this not Kiddush Hashem? This is all kosher. How does dying on Kiddush Hashem clue me in to the level of the hidden, which is where you're taking it, right? You're getting past Shulchan Aruch. You're getting into things that are totally kosher. So how do you make that connection?
Right. So for that, you're right. For that, you... If I only knew this halacha, let's say the only halacha in Shulchan Aruch I knew was to give up your life for the Ribbono Shel Olam, right? I may not come to the conclusion to know the proper way as to like how to reach that tachlis or to know what to do. However,
right, you can live your whole life, and when that happens, I'll do it.
Or you think you'd live in Kiddush Hashem because you've put a yarmulke on everything you've ever wanted. Right, you say no. This is good because it trust me. This is good because I make a bracha, right? Like Shem Shemayim. Hashem wants it. Hashem doesn't want me to enjoy. You know what I'm saying? Like so right. That still applies if you live al Kiddush Hashem.
You could still be very lost in the journey with just this halacha. Mm-hmm. Happens to be that if, and this can take us in a totally different direction. We spoke about it once before. There is a way in Avodas Hashem which is called do whatever you want to do. Do the opposite. Meaning like this. It's a very hard way in Avodas Hashem. It's not so much Lamaisa, not Lamaisa really for us, but there were tzaddikim and there are tzaddikim who live like this. Meaning that everything which they want to do, because they postulate it because it's a negia, and they'll do the opposite of the Shem Shemayim. Now, it could be that it'll lead, you don't know which direction that will lead you in, right? But at the end of the day, you're living Simin Kufnin Zayin in Jerodeo, which is Dying Al Kiddush Hashem. And you can actually get to the right place
by doing that, because you're constantly breaking your ratzon, knowing that whatever it is that Hashem wants, it will normally be the opposite of what this goof wants. Whatever this goof wants, the opposite of that.
I could be doing it for a week, and like I could see people, I could see this being like an avoda for like a serious mitzvah. Like, just to try it. Like, you know what I'm saying? I can't see you going from 0 to 60 on that. Like, that's like, you're going from, like, you know, guy on the street to, like, tzaddik, you know. But I could see someone saying, like...
I think we have a problem here with the language, though. We have a problem with the language. I mean, you tell a guy, Kaddish Atzmah Mutterlach, or you need to break yourself, like...
No, this is not Lamaisa. That was.
I know.
I want to get to the main point.
No, I'm going back.
That's
to the
not Lamaisa.
I'm going back to the main.
Why is it not Lamaisa for? Why? It's a Lamaisa. It's just hard.
I think we could. We're more able to relate to this idea of instead of going for the pleasure, go for the enjoyment. And in order to have the enjoyment, there needs to be that situation where there's not a conflict, but like you have a challenge, and you feel like you have those skills where you can meet that challenge, and that takes you to the next level. Like your athlete example,
but you say something different. You say something much more. I'll give you a personal example. Okay, my first year at Davis Polk. My first year as a lawyer, they put in front of us books, paraphernalia, as to what it would be like to be a partner. Being a partner in a big law firm is like momish, like being para, right? Everything, servants When I got to my first year, I was indoctrinated with, that's my goal in life. So, I worked Yom and Belayla all the time. I never really came home. If I got a call at 11 o'clock, I got in the car, went back to work till 4. I was willing to do everything. Kaddish Atzmacha B'Mutter Lecha. Right? I went above and beyond. I asked for work when I didn't have any. Why? Because... like you're saying, I've committed, I was makabel, that the goal of my career is to be there, and whatever it is they put my way is worth the price of that.
Because they showed you the Rebbe.
They showed you the Rebbe. Yeah. What we're saying here is, until you get to a place where you are being makir what the goal is for yourself, at a high level, you're not going to go through the usual constant state of challenge.
Right. That we're just going to go for the immediate what feels good.
Right. Yeah. But that's the so is that you have to have that picture to be makabel upon yourself, not once, and the breaking is a pleasure. Because
that's the enjoyment.
That's the enjoyment. Meaning, breaking only stinks if you have nothing to break it for.
Right.
But if you're breaking yourself because you're competing because you want to be in Sayeret Matkal, guys are breaking themselves 24/7 because the thought that they can have those wings.
And so that's why I'm saying we have a language problem. Because if you're going to keep saying Kaddish Atzmah Mutterlach and all these types of what seems to me negative type of language, people aren't going to take it.
Kaddish Atzmah is not a negative language. Kaddish Atzmah. I could have been said in so many ways.
Kaddish
Atzmah Mutterlach.
For regular people. I understand.
Charlie, so like... we have to train ourselves and to come to that feeling and understanding that the challenge and the fight itself is what brings to the ultimate joy.
Right.
Because without that, you're just left at basic stuff.
That's right. That's why it's so important. The Kabbalah first, and then the spirit.
Okay.
Yeah.
You only grow from setbacks.
Challenges.
What's a challenge?
Not necessarily a setback.
Okay.
Challenges. Absolutely.
Again, this reiterates the point that the first thing has to be a Kabbalah. Because then you're fighting for something. Then you're working towards a goal. That's what Rabbunim says. He said, Rabbunim says that, it's exactly what he says. He says, everybody wants to make themselves ayin. Right? I want to make myself ayin. You know, and if you know a little bit of Hasidus, you know, ayin is like the highest. Talk about ayin like you're talking about the ultimate. He says, Rabbunim says, so why are people not matzliach? Because they don't know what to make themselves ayin to. You have to make yourself iron to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So if you're just making yourself iron, then you're just in outer space somewhere. What does it mean to be iron? Nothing to what? You have to make yourself nothing to the Ribbono Shel Olam, make yourself nothing. It comes from a Hakaras HaEmes. I mean, you're makir that there's Achdus Hashem in the world. So from that Achdus, you make yourself iron because that's the truth. But if you're just going to go around like in Disneyland, like this is a fantasy, I'm iron, then you're kidding yourself. You have to make yourself iron to something. That's like the Kabbalah. And the ayin is a nice shprach, which we say, but ayin takes a lot of work. You know, it takes a lot of work now to be ayin. But a person has to if he sees that truth, and that's really what the tzaddikim tried to do, they didn't tell anybody to do anything. Rabbi never tells anybody what to do. Okay, you see the truth of Hashem's achdus. You see that emes, then it's machayiv you to work. It's machayiv you to work. Or you could just live in sheker, and then that's very painful. But the emes should make is machayiv a person have to work.
Should a person strive to be a tzaddik? Or is that just like, you're kidding yourself?
No, of course.
I think you're saying that there has been a lot of skeletons in the path of Judaism because people are like, I want to be a tzaddik, and they failed. So you can't have the expectations that I will be a tzaddik, but you have to point to something and say, I want to be that.
Exactly.
So another question.
Exactly. That's exactly what
it's about. When Yitzchak Avraham was younger, did he go through this equation?
Every tzaddik goes through the ups and downs. Ups and downs, being makabel again, falling. Rabbi Nachman says you have to be makabel upon himself thousands of times in his life. And many times in the same day. Is you fall and you makabel again. That's what it means, Rashi. It means makabel again, makabel again, makabel again. Now, Rosh Hashanah is a time to make a Kabbalah for the whole year. That's Rosh Hashanah. Is a day of Kabbalahs all Malach Hashemayim. That's what it is.
I think we have to get, I personally need to get better to a level of Hakara. Like if we can figure out how to get to the level of Hakara, then you can get to a level of Kabbalah. Right? If your Hakara is small, then your Kabbalah is small. But that's really the question. It's not just, is it the Hakara of the Eibishter's Achdus? Is it the Hakara of your role? Like, we have to like nail in, what are you striving to be makir? Because if you're striving to be makir something, that at some point, if you'll see it, Mitzvah Shem, and then you can then say, okay, I see it, I'm a Kabbalah. But if the Hakara isn't clear, then the Kabbalah is going to be weak.
I don't know. I feel like everybody knows. Everybody knows this deep down.
No, but there's knowing via data hayoyim ashevoisa levavasa.
I think the bigger challenge comes in where it's like, do you want easy or do you want good? In the words of Noach Weinberg, do you want easy or do you want good? Noach Leilatim Shnoi Devra, as I already said, right? So it's just easier. It's just easier when you're up against that challenge.
But that's only easy because we're not makir deeply. Meaning, that's the thing. Yeah. When you're makir the MS deeply, it's machayiv you. You lose your bechir in it. Meaning, the real path in Avodas Hashem is like the MS is so clear that you don't have a struggle to make a choice otherwise. Meaning, it's just this is what you have to do.
Yeah, but the guy says, it's easy and good, and then they hand him the x-rays. And he goes, what? And then he's like, that's what I'm getting at. If you spend time in the technique and the tactic, you're still in the same fight. You haven't left the forest. Only when your Hakara changes, they put you in the helicopter, and you go, wait, I'm only looking at trees. This is what we're struggling with, which is, I don't know if we have the Hakara. I don't know if we're seeing the Hakara. I think we're still operating under the same schema, the same perspective, always. And that is just bringing the same stimulus to us. We're just being machazik ourselves in the same game. We're on the same floor.
The tzaddik has the same fight, just on a higher level.
I don't know. Maybe the tzaddik is spending more time in Hakara. Maybe
what Charlie's trying to get to, and Rabbi Moshe Weinberger always says this, Marshall, like once a year at least, you could chop down each tree in the forest, you could burn it down. And I think what Charlie's trying to get to is we have to burn the forest instead of chopping each tree down. Like we have to change our perspective so you could burn the forest, not chop each tree.
Be above it. You have to have a Hakara, and I don't know how to get it, but you have to have a Hakara of such more, not like the level of a tzaddik, meaning if you get to Rosh Hashanah with the same Hakara that you had of Hashem last Rosh Hashanah, you're going to make very similar moves, and all I'm going to do is re-machazik myself to make the same basic decisions of last year, because I'm operating with the same perspective of the Rabbonu Shalom on the day of Kabbalah.
Well, what's your perspective? Well, what's your quote-unquote bad perspective.
I mean, wherever I am of who Hashem is and what He wants in me and what my life is supposed to be and the levels of come, all of that is where I'm making my decisions from. I'm making my decisions from a perspective of how I see the world. If the perspective stays the same, the decisions are going to only be on the margins. If I work on the perspective, if someone brought me into the Kaddish Kedushin for a second, like the famous Maisa with the person who went in to the Kaddish Kedushin to steal the menorah. Remember that? Remember the Maisa? Yeah, he comes out and he goes, they go, we'll go back in. He goes, I'm not going back in. They go, what? because he got a chance to see something, and that hakara of being in the Beis HaMikdash, he wasn't the same human being. So that's what we're getting at, which is if we can figure out how to work on, before we talk about action and change and doing anything and being uncomfortable, just to see something that we don't see, to I don't know how.
That's called hakara, it's a deep seeing.
A recognition
isn't
of
that part of.
That's a gift.
Isn't that the Baruch Hu concealing himself?
That's what we have to discuss. That's it. Next week, Mr. Shabbat, we could discuss that.
But we can't just say that to get the benefit for it is so much greater to have a deep breath, to have a certain perspective, you can't teach yourself a perspective, you have to come from the outside.
But I'm not saying get the level of clarity.
There's ways to do that.
If we were able to figure out how to gain perspective that is 10% more than last year, that means we come to Rosh Hashanah with a 10% chance of setting a goal that is a qualitative shift in what I find for myself.
I'm not sure what I heard you say. Did you say let's say a person sets a goal that he wants to be 10% better this year than last year?
No, I'm saying by just shifting. I don't believe Hashem can do anything, right? That's Josh's point. Like Hashem can wake up one morning and just give us him, and like would be the greatest gift. If we want to plan from the world of Hester Panim Teva, if we increase our Hakar of the Rabbonu Shalom by 10%, let's say, because we're not going to get to Rabbi Nachman, maybe we will, but we can't expect that. If all we get is 10% more of a Hakar of the Kodesh Baruch Hu in our lives, it'll shift our whole life.
That's true, but I don't think that a person should set that as a goal for the year. I think a person, again, we could talk about this next week because we're running out of time, but I don't think that it's right that if a person goes into Rosh Hashanah setting a certain level of expectation for, let's say, how he does a mitzvah, or 10% more, even in this case, a hakara, or whatever it is. To me, a person has to go in. Your ratzon is not limited. Your ratzon is not limited. I want today to be the biggest Oved Hashem that you can make me be. I think where I end up is where I end up.
Charlie says you go for the gold, and if all you accomplish is 10% better.
Yeah, well, in that case, if you even accomplish 1% better, meaning right. once you're striving for the goal and you shoot for the stars and you're like, I want to be the tachlis of this creation. I want to be the tachlis of creation. That's what I want. I'm a kabbal this year to serve you in a way that you shouldn't have any disappointment with me. I should be bishvil me, bishvili nasa adam. It was created for me. I want to be that. How am I going to get there? I don't know how I'm going to get there, but that's my goal for this year. I want to be that.
Right, they're probably saying that hakara is the way, is the vehicle to really expand your.
That doesn't need
growth.
A hakara. A ratzon doesn't need a hakara. Hakara is necessary to put into action now. But my ratzon is unlimited. I'm understanding what the connection between the ratzon and the hakara is. Meaning, to be roitza, why can't there be roitza the ultimate? Okay, hakara will be machayiv me certain results, but why should I limit my ratzon to the level of the hakara?
Because not really a ratzon.
Why?
I'll give you an example. The relative that you opened with, right? He sits legitimately, gets up and says, I want to be the best Jew I can be this year. Right? What's in his head for the best Jew he can be this year is different than the tzaddik in B'nai Brak. Because his level of hakaras Hashem in this world is so different that his real, of course he can say anything. I'm talking about to get into the panemius of what you want. He doesn't want it like the tzaddik wants it because he doesn't see it.
Who's to say he's giving any less nachas ruach tasham?
I'm not talking about nachas ruach tasham.
No,
I'm not
saying
you can't strive. And I'm also saying, he's not saying you can't want to want. I get that. And I understand the whole concept.
I don't even think this is bechlal want to want. I may not have a dogma. What I'm hearing from you is he may not have a dogma. A guy growing up a woman may not have a dogma of what a tzaddik looks like. But why does he need to have a dogma to want whatever that looks like? I just want to be that. Why are we limited from our exposures to wanting? I don't know what it looks like to be what the purpose of creation is. I know it has something to do with Adam HaRishon and the Torah, something like that. I don't know exactly what that looks like. But I'm understanding why anything should, any exposure should limit what my ratzon should be.
It's just whether or not you delve into the MS of your ratzon.
I think Charlie is saying he's afraid that what I say is not really what my rutzen is. Right. Like, I could be saying that, but I really want it. Like, I want my rutzen to be there, but I know deep down that's not really what
I want. If I told somebody, honestly, if I told somebody, if you daven chakras and say every word right, you walk out to right now, and there's a guy that can write you out a check, and you have to believe me, you're going to have a check of $10 million. Just say every word right. You can't compare it to someone who walks in and thinks he's walk out, and it's like, I did nothing. The hakara of what I'm doing, the hakara of what I'm involved in, the level of, it's who we are. Meaning, you can say anything, and you can want anything, but if you really, I think, want to get into the MS and change yourself, you have to recognize what you're playing with, what you're doing. When you learn that when you do it, you shake lulav, and the shaking of lulav is based on spheres, and you learn all about that, and everything relates, it's a totally different experience than if you heard that you shake lulav, because if you don't shake lulav, God's going to zap you. And you're like, I don't even believe that. So even if both people are sitting next to him in shul, this guy's working on his hakara of the value of the mitzvah. This guy's rolled out of bed. They can both say, I want you, Hashem. This guy, and it's just not true. It's not true, and even if it's real and it's not true, you can't possibly love someone else's kid like you love your kid, even though you say, I love every Jew. It's not true unless you've worked on yourself for your whole life.
We're talking past each other here. We're talking about, on the one hand, Ratzon.
Which
is unlimited for anybody. But anybody.
It's unlimited if you're being honest with yourself.
I agree with Charlie.
You have to be honest. The rutzen you have when you hold your child and you love your child versus the rutzen you have because you see some kid. You heard that you're supposed to have a rutzen, so you love every yid. But come on. Be honest. What's the rutzen you have for the health and welfare of a child? So when you have a hakara, this is my kid. You spent 9 months. You see him in the house. You can't come to Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur and say, I want to go for the gold if you haven't worked on being makir what the gold is.
I'm not hearing it. We'll talk about it next week. And Mr. Hashem, I'm not hearing it. I'm not hearing how the lemais of that. So I'm sitting with a guy now who went to Ezra Academy. And he's fresh out of high school. And he's like, "What, Rabbi, tell me, like, what am I supposed to work on this year? What am I going to do? I'm going to create like a personalized goal in mind where I'm going to be like, okay, this year I want you to make 100 brachas a day. That's going to be our lemaisa.
As a kid, go for the gold, and he'll go, I got it, Rabbi, and he's going to go, I'm going for the gold.
And then I'm going to talk to him about what that looks like.
His gold. I'm not saying nachas Hashem, I got it, but like a guy who just comes off the street. I'm interested in Yiddish guy. What should I go for? Have the rutzon to go for the gold. Got it. I'm going. Hashem.
There has to be some Peirush Rashi on that.
That's what I'm getting
okay.
at. Peirush Rashi is my... What I'm saying, when I say the word hakara, is the understanding of what the gold is.
Now you're just... All I'm hearing now is that you're saying, okay, so take your interpretation of go for the gold, and now explain what go for the gold means. That, I agree, but I don't think... But what I was hearing until now was like, okay, there's gold for the gold, and I was like, whoa, that's too high for everybody.
Let's go down from the gold for the silver.
Let's tell them about the silver.
We recover the gold when you said it.
Why don't we just engage in conversations of like, well, let's explain what the gold that's is, and saying. Just have a rutzen to just Hashem, take me where you want me to go, I want to be the image of man what you want.
But why can't
that be what Rosh Hashanah is about?
Because I want.
That is what it's about.
I agree with you.
It's about Bria Sa'adam took place on Rosh Hashanah.
I agree that you're right for the gold for the gold. All I'm suggesting is. I think we have to figure out in a much deeper way what the gold is so that when we get to Rosh Hashanah and we ask for the gold, we want the real gold.
Maskin. That's I can understand on that level why Hakara translates into Rosh
Hashanah. Josh is in here.
Yeah, I can see it. I'm sure the Chevy here has a lot to say about this and you just like wish you can get in on this. But I see that. I see why there Hakara will translate into a stronger Ratzon.
That's it.
But that's the thing. The process is now Ratzon Hakara, Ratzon Hakara, Ratzon Hakara. There's going to be this back and forth. But I think initially, now I see where the initial, I think that if we don't present to a person on Rosh Hashanah that your Ratzon should be what Shofar is about, what Akedat Yitzchak is about, what Rosh Hashanah is about, what Bria Sa'adam is all about, we're just turning Rosh Hashanah into a regular Tuesday.
Agreed.
Regular Tuesday. I can tell you any day, you should do Mea Brachas every single day. You're going to make your year out of Mea Brachas? Come on. You don't need that. You don't need Rosh Hashanah for that. You need Rosh Hashanah for purpose decisions. Sefer HaChaim. You know what Ksiva and the Sefer HaChaim means? Ksiva is not new with Mea Brachas. Sefer HaChaim is like Eitz HaChaim. How are you living your life? You're in the Gan. What are you going to use? Eitz HaDas, Eitz HaChaim. That's Rosh Hashanah.
Agreed. That's exactly what we want.
Have a Shabbos. Have a Shkai.